Good afternoon from St. Nicholas Park in central Harlem. On the update this Monday, the governor says that we're officially on the other side of the mountain. The southern tier, Mohawk Valley, and Finger Lakes regions of upstate have shown enough progress in taming the virus that they're ready to gradually restart economic activity by the end of the week. We'll have the latest details. In other news, we're remembering two of New York's very own. Up-and-coming 21-year-old rapper Nick Blixey has been shot and killed in Brooklyn, while comedian Jerry Stiller has died at the age of 92. His son Ben Stiller said that the actor died of natural causes. Making it safe for America's professional sports teams to start playing games is one thing, but making sure that athletes are in game shape is quite another. And overseas, the British government performed an about-face on masks, telling people to cover their mouth and nose in shops, buses, and subway trains. The change is part of a plan to gradually lift a nationwide lockdown that was imposed 7 weeks ago to slow the spread. This is the update, Monday, May 11th, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Monday to you, Brandon Julian, the host of The Update. Podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop is St. Nicholas Park, not too far from my home district in central Harlem, around 135th Street. We have a lot of news to get to this Monday, including the latest coronavirus developments. The governor said during his briefing today that the numbers, the new daily hospitalizations number deaths, are at the number where we first started at the incline at late March. Yes, the governor says as of today, we are officially on the other side of the mountain. And he said that several regions of upstate have shown enough progress in taming the outbreak that they are ready to gradually restart economic activity by the end of the week when the statewide New York pause order and the stay-at-home order expires. You may remember Cuomo shut down the entire state back on March 22nd as the city emerged as a global pandemic hotspot. But the outbreak has been less severe in the state's smaller cities and rural areas. The governor said that three upstate regions have met all the criteria for opening some business activity after May 15th, the Southern Tier, Mohawk Valley, and the Finger Lakes. The governor also said that some low-risk businesses would also reopen on Friday, and that certain activities like low-risk activities like gardening, low-risk recreational activities outdoors like tennis, and drive-in movie theaters, they would also be opening up on Friday as well. Meanwhile, back here in the city, the contract tracers that are considered essential to reopening New York will be receiving training through an online course being launched today. The free training will instruct tracers on how to contact people that have been infected with COVID-19 and those that they may have exposed with the goal of interrupting the spread. The course was developed by the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health with Bloomberg Philanthropies. Governor Cuomo has said that if some parts of the state could start to reopen as early as Friday if local governments provide plans for testing and tracing. He said a reopening requirement of 30 contact tracers per 100,000 residents. You may remember last week that the city's subway system shut down for the first time in New York's history. Between the hours of 1 a.m. and 5 a.m., the subways and the city's 472 stations began closing for a nightly cleaning to disinfect trains and stations. It's a concession that shows how the virus pandemic has seized the gears of New York, one of the world's hardest hit cities. A four-hour shutdown may not seem like a drastic change given all the transformations wrought by the pandemic, but here in New York, it means a tear in the fabric of the city. To the state capitol in Albany we go now, where the state nursing homes must start twice-weekly testing for all staffers and will no longer be sent COVID-19 patients leaving hospitals. The governor announced the policy yesterday after facing some growing criticism over the handling of nursing facility outbreaks. Meanwhile, the city is responding to complaints about racial disparities and enforcement of social distancing by ramping up a core of city workers to try to keep people in line without involving the NYPD. The mayor says that the number of city workers deployed as social distancing ambassadors will grow next weekend from around 1,000 to 2,300. Speaking of those nursing homes, we all know that New York is leading the nation in the number of virus deaths in nursing homes. And the governor has been coming under increasing criticism for his handling of the crisis. Healthcare watchdogs and lawmakers are citing the problems with testing and transparency that have prevented health officials and the public from grasping the full scale of the problem. And they're also second guessing a state directive that requires nursing homes take on new patients that have been infected with COVID-19, in order that they say accelerated outbreaks in facilities that are the prime breeding grounds for infectious diseases. In Washington, we all know that the president pledged back in late March to ensure production of 100,000 additional ventilators within 100 days to address a shortage during the pandemic. Since then, his administration has rushed to spend nearly $3 billion to spur U.S. manufacturers to crank them out at an unprecedented pace. And an Associated Press analysis shows that the federal government is expected to take delivery of the nearly 200,000 new ventilators by the end of the year. But after noting unusually high death rates for victims put on the machines, many doctors are shifting away from using them. And that's raising the expected prospect that the United States could soon be awash in surplus ventilators. And back in the state capitol, the governor says that two young children and a teenager in the state have died from a possible complication from the virus involving swollen blood vessels and heart problems. At least 73 children in New York have been diagnosed with symptoms that are similar to Kawasaki disease, a rare inflammatory condition, and toxic shock syndrome. There is no proof, however, that the virus causes the mysterious syndrome. There is other news of this Monday to address, and when we come back, we'll talk about how we're remembering two of New York's very own when the Update with Brandon and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Monday. In Brooklyn, up-and-coming rapper Nick Blixie has been shot and killed. Police say that the 21-year-old was found with gunshot wounds in a building in the Prospect Lefferts Garden section around 9:30 last night. He was taken to Kings County Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Blixie was born Nicholas Thompson. His Spotify profile says he started rapping for fun with his crew, the Blixie Crew. But he decided to take it more seriously and pursue a career in hip-hop when fans responded positively to his YouTube videos. Police so far have made no arrests in the shooting. We've also learned that comedian Jerry Stiller has died at the age of 92. His son, Ben Stiller, said that the actor died of natural causes in a tweet posted earlier today. Jerry Stiller began his career in the 1950s as the partner of his wife, Ann Mara, and remained popular decades later with his featured roles on Seinfeld and The King of Queens. Stiller was also a multi-talented performer who appeared in an assortment of movies. He played Walther Matthau's police sidekick in the thriller The Taking of Pelham 123, and Devine's husband Wilbur Turnblad in John Waters' twisted comedy Hairspray. Mother's Day weekend is officially over now, but it got off to an unseasonably snowy start in areas of the Northeast thanks to our old friend, the polar vortex. While Manhattan, Boston, and many other coastal areas received only a few flakes, some higher elevation areas in northern New York and New England reported 9 inches or more. The spring snow and accompanying low temperatures came courtesy of the polar vortex, a batch of cold air being pulled down from the north. Massachusetts hadn't seen measurable snow in May since 2002, while in Central Park, the flakes tied a record set in 1977 for the latest snow. In Washington, the president is hoping to persuade a Supreme Court with two of his appointees to keep his tax and other financial records from being turned over to lawmakers and a district attorney. The justices are going to be hearing arguments by telephone tomorrow in a pivotal legal fight that could affect the presidential campaign, even with the outbreak and the resulting economic fallout. Rulings against the president could result in the quick release of personal financial information that Trump has sought strenuously to keep private. Trump has resisted calls to release his tax returns since before his election back in 2016. And in the state capitol in Albany, residents that were sexually abused as children now have until January of next year to sue those responsible. The governor on Friday extended the Child Victims Act filing deadline to make up for the curtailed court services during the pandemic. The one-year window for pursuing legal action was scheduled to close in mid-August. Victims and advocates back in March had asked Cuomo to extend it. The 2019 law had suspended the statute of limitations for a year to allow victims to pursue even decades-old allegations of abuse against priests, teachers, Boy Scout leaders, and other adults. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Monday from St. Nicholas Park, we'll help you get around with the MTA Essential Service Plan. We're going to talk some sports and talk about how making it safe for America's professional sports teams to start playing games is one thing, but making sure the athletes are in game shape is quite another. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how overseas in Britain, the British government has performed an about-face on masks, telling people to cover their mouth and nose in shops, buses, and subway trains. We will address that and more when the update with Brad and Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
They say singing can help you remember things, so here's some tips for parents out there during these tough times.
Number one!
Make sure your kids wash their hands for 20 seconds after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside.
Two!
Virtual playdates, social and physical distancing can help save lives.
Three.
Tell them they're safe and show your love and pride. Yes, we'll get through this together. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Of all the radio stations in New York, we just happen to be one of them. This is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for traffic and weather together.
Because the MTA is running an essential service plan for essential employees only, trains will be running every 20 to 30 minutes. Also, there is no scheduled service on the B Grand Central Shuttle, W, and Z trains.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports on this Monday. The pandemic is now impacting how college athletic programs are making their travel plans as they budget for the upcoming year. The cancellation of the NCAA tournament has produced a budget crunch that leaves colleges looking for cost-saving revenues, cost-saving measures. One simple step is cut back on travel. Chattanooga took a creative approach by announcing that any 2020-2021 away games that hadn't already been scheduled must be played within 150 miles of its campus. Other schools are also trying to make their trips as short as possible without instituting any specific limits. And of course, making it safe for America's professional sports teams to start playing games is one thing, but making sure that they're in game shape is quite another. The experts say that nothing should be rushed. Athletes and coaches in the NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball all indicate that a few weeks of training is necessary before any games. Dr. Mike Reinold is a senior medical advisor for the Chicago White Sox. He says that athletes need to know when to peak. When we return on the update this Monday from St. Nicholas Park, we will address what happened on this day in history. And then we will talk the latest national news, including how records show at least 41 Ohio prison inmates have died of COVID-19. And 25 of them have been housed in Pickaway Correctional Institution in Central Ohio, which includes a medical center. We'll address that and more when the update with Brian and Julian, OTR, a podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
This time of upheaval is causing me to look a little deeper inside myself, looking for some goodness. And this is what I've found. I'm more aware of my neighbor's well-being. I'm saying thanks to those who help keep my life as normal as possible. My mail carrier, my grocery cashier, my delivery person. I find myself caring about others instead of just looking out for myself. And oh, my goodness, does it feel good. Goodness is in you. Pass it on. From PassItOn.com. Notice lately how empty everything is? Empty streets, empty stores, empty schools. But I'm trying to change these empty times by being full of gratitude. Gratitude means saying thanks to the garbage collector, the medical providers, and all those who are helping every day. Things may appear empty around us, but when we're filled with gratitude, nothing is completely empty inside us. Gratitude is in you. From PassItOn.com.
From New York, where kids eat for free. This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update with Brandon Julian, OTR. Podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, St. Nicholas Park in central Harlem, not too far from my home base. This is only our second show where I've been relatively... This is our third show where it's been close to home. We did a show from home one day. We've also done Central Park, and this is our third stop relatively close to home. Who knows? Maybe we might be doing more of this stuff more often. Who knows? Let's talk about what happened on this day in history for this May the 11th. The highlight of his day came in 1502 when Christopher Columbus left Cadiz, Spain on his fourth and final trip to the Western Hemisphere. In 1858, Minnesota became the 32nd State of the Union. In 1935, the Rural Electrification Administration was created as one of President Franklin D. Roosevelt's New Deal programs. In 1943, during World War II, U.S. forces landed on the Aleutian island of Attu, which was held by the Japanese. The Americans took the island 19 days later. In 1947, the B.F. Goodrich Company of Akron, Ohio, announced the development of a tubeless tire. In 1950, President Harry S. Truman formally dedicated the Grand Coulee Dam in Washington State. In 1953, a tornado devastated Waco, Texas, claiming 114 lives. In 1960, Israeli agents captured Nazi war criminal Adolf Eichmann in Buenos Aires, Argentina. In 1973, the espionage trial of Daniel Ellsberg and Anthony Russo in the Pentagon Papers case came to an end as Judge William M. Byrne dismissed all the charges, citing government misconduct. In 1981, legendary reggae artist Bob Marley died in a Miami hospital at the age of 36. In 1996, an Atlanta-bound Value Jet DC-9 caught fire shortly after takeoff from Miami and crashed into the Florida Everglades, killing all 110 people on board. In 1998, India set off three underground atomic blasts, its first nuclear tests in 24 years. Also, a French mint produced the first coins of Europe's single currency, the euro. And in 2006, lawmakers defended answers after a USA Today report that the National Security Agency was secretly collecting records of millions of ordinary Americans' phone calls. President George W. Bush sought to assure Americans that their civil liberties were being, quote, fiercely protected. When we return on the update this Monday from St. Nicholas Park, we will address the latest national news, including how the Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hills' law license is going to be suspended for 30 days. We will tell you the reason why when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Sterling, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now's the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to The Update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, St. Nicholas Park in central Harlem, not too far from my home base. Let's talk the latest national news on this Monday. We'll begin overseas in London, because the British government has now performed an about-face on masks, telling people to cover their mouth and nose in shops, buses, and subway trains. The change is part of a plan to gradually lift a nationwide lockdown that was imposed 7 weeks ago to slow the spread. Prime Minister Boris Johnson has extended most of the restrictions, which says that people will be allowed to do more outdoor activities starting on Wednesday. And he said that people who can't work from home, quote, should be actively encouraged to go to work. Critics say, though, that the advice was confusing, hard to follow, and potentially dangerous. A French official virus death toll is nearly almost 32,000, the highest in all of Europe. back here in the States, in Columbus, Ohio, records show at least 41 Ohio prison inmates have died of COVID-19. 25 of them housed away in Pickaway Correctional Institution in Central Ohio, which includes a medical center. More than 4,300 inmates have tested positive statewide, and nearly 500 staff members. Among the prisoners who died was Carlos Ridley, serving a life sentence for a 1981 triple slaying in Lima. Ridley had hoped to prove his innocence through DNA testing of crime scene evidence, but an appeals court denied his latest question on May 4th, and he died after being rushed to the hospital the next day. Out in Indianapolis, the Attorney General of Indiana, Curtis Hill, his law license will be suspended for 30 days over an allegation that he drunkenly groped four women. The Supreme Court ruled today that the state's Attorney Disciplinary Commission, quote, proved by clear and convincing evidence that Hill, quote, committed the criminal act of battery. But the court gave the Republican Attorney General a less serious punishment than the 60-day suspension recommended by a hearing officer for his actions during a party marking the end of the 2018 legislative session. And finally, we'll go to Washington, because this could be a very tricky week for the president. His leading health experts on the virus are going to be speaking for self-quarantine. The Supreme Court will be hearing arguments over access to his financial records. And a government whistleblower will tell lawmakers that he lost his job for questioning a malaria drug for COVID-19 that was championed by the president. The health experts on safely dealing with the virus will be testifying in a Senate hearing by video conference after three of them and the committee's chairman were exposed to people who tested positive for COVID-19. The images of top administration officials taking such precautions are coming. States are seeking to loosen the economic restrictions that were put in place to mitigate the virus's spread. Our thought for today is from Irving Berlin, an American songwriter, born on this date in 1888 and died in 1989. Our thought for today is, life is 10% what you make of it, and 90% how you take it. I'll let you guys ponder on that as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. Monday, May the 11th, 2020. That is the update on this Monday from St. Nicholas Park in Central Harlem. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. Be well. And I'll see you in some other part of the city tomorrow.